Good evening, everybody. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of November 8th, 2012. Summer Reese, Chair, Bill Crozier, Vice Chair, Afia Wangaza, Secretary. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please?
Well, actually, if he asked her if I would do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Vice Chair, could you call the roll, please? Thank you.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
Sorry, here.
Thank you. Ivan Osame? Can't hear you, Ivan. Teresa Allen?
Can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Bediako?
Present.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Thank you. Carolyn Burton?
Here.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Thank you. Bill Crozier's here. Kathy Davis?
Here.
Thank you. Revelyn Gold?
Present.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Here.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Present.
Thank you. Ali Alexa?
Here.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza? Oh, I think she's going to miss the call. Laura Privis? Can't hear you, Laura. Summer Reese?
Present.
Thank you. Marcel Reed?
Here.
Thank you. George Ryder?
Here.
Thank you. Jason Rosenberg?
Here.
Thank you. Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg? Andrea Alex, Andrea Turner. Andrea, Andrea. John Gary, recording secretary.
Present.
Thank you. So we have one.
Hello, this is Andrea.
Andrea, thank you. You're just finishing the roll. Thank you. We have 16 members present.
Thank you, Bill.
Point of information?
Yes, Campbell?
I have not gotten an agenda last night nor today.
Bill sent them out last night, and also they were attached to the automatic notification.
Oh, wait.
I'll send them again. Actually, the executive session one doesn't go out automatically because it's not posted online, but I'll send them to you, Campbell.
Okay. Thank you. And apparently my cell phone has not been working the entire day because it just dumped a whole bunch of messages when I read. Very interesting. Okay. All right, folks. So does everyone have the agenda now, Campbell?
I'm waiting on it.
Okay. All right. Thank
Teresa
you.
Here.
All right. Very good. All right, folks, I didn't receive any requests for excused absences. If there are any, then...
Yeah, I asked for one.
Did you... One?
I think you sent an email to the board asking for one.
Okay.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, thank you. Any others? Anyone's aware of? Okay, is there any objection to Afia's excused absence?
Without objection.
All right, cool. All right, very good. All right, so we've got the agenda. Is there a motion to, well, first designated timekeeper. George, would you be willing to do that again?
I'd be willing, but I'm kind of tired. Is there someone else who's willing to do it?
Is there someone else who would like to do that?
All right, I'll do it.
Well, let me ask you this. This is Teresa. What does it entail exactly?
Just keeping track of the time and giving us reminders when, you know, everybody goes over time. You know, the you've been speaking for 90 seconds. We're past time on that item.
All right. I will try to do it.
All right.
Thank
you.
I
appreciate that. All right. So do we have a motion to approve the agenda? Anybody have any amendments or anything they want to do to it?
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia.
I sent a motion late in the afternoon. It was sent to Bill early, but it was the wrong one, and I thought my email had been compromised again. So,
oh,
I got another email today saying it was spammed, and then it turned out to be an old one. So anyway, so I've changed my password for nothing again today.
But yeah, I kind of suspected it had been hacked because all those emails just didn't look like anything anybody would be sending. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what are the motions? Bill, did you get them?
Yeah.
I sent it to the PMC.
Well, the ones George had came from the programming committee. There were two from there, and he sent them just a little while ago, and Lydia sent hers a little while ago, too, about an hour ago.
And I'm Maybe. Sorry, what are they, Lydia? Where do you want to put them in? Where are you trying to go with these?
Okay, well, I haven't seen the agenda, so but it seems to be a time-sensitive issue, which is to see if we can get your manual to help us find a bonding agent so that we can bonding for the signers on the account, the specific account.
Okay, and where are you trying to where are you trying to put this on the agenda, Lydia?
As I said, I'm driving, so I can't look at the agenda. The items tonight are what, the audit committee? I wouldn't mind. It seems that it would be appropriate for an audit committee process. That seems to be, you know, after we pick the firm.
And after the audit committee motion, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
That'd be Nia.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Hearing no objection. Sounds like it's there.
Hello. This is Alex. I just want to let you know I'm on the call.
Thank you, Alex. Okay. Objections? Are there any other
Yes. Chair. Person Summer. Do we have the agenda? I haven't seen it yet.
It went out with the automatic PNB notification. It's there as an attachment?
No.
Okay. I haven't seen it. Okay. Maybe, Bill, you could just resend it to the whole PNB since it sounds like people are having trouble finding
okay.
it.
Okay. I sent it about at 1:17 a.m. Central Time. But I'll resend it to everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. All right. So are there any other amendments or changes to the agenda, or do we have approval for the agenda?
Nia, I just have one quick thing.
Go ahead, Nia.
For Lydia's motion, I would like for that to be 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Laura Prudis is here, by the way.
Hi, Laura. Thank you. Okay, very good. So is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So
anybody?
Nia.
Okay, thank you. Any objection? And hearing none, the agenda is approved. Thank you. All right, so we have minutes, approval for open session minutes, October 18th and October 25th. Does anyone want to move approval of the October 18th minutes?
Yeah, so moved.
Thank you, George. Your second?
I second. This is Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Are there any objections?
I haven't had an opportunity to read them. I'll have to abstain.
Okay. Bill, can you call the roll, please?
Okay, sorry, I had unmuted. Ken Aaron.
Abstain.
Thank you, Ivan Alsame. Can't hear you, Ivan. Teresa Allen. Can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Bediako?
Yes, I read them, yes.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Thank you, Carolyn Burden?
Abstain.
Thank you, Lydia Brisson?
Abstain.
Thank you, Bill Crozier abstains. Kathy Davis?
Abstain.
Thank you, Revlon Gold?
Abstain.
Thank you, Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Abstain.
Thank you. Ali Alexa?
Abstain.
Thank you. Fianna Gaza is not here. Laura Privis?
Yes.
Thank you. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder?
Abstain.
Okay. Thank you, Marcel.
Yeah, George Ryder says yes.
Thank you. Tracy Rosenberg?
I'll vote yes.
Thank you. Dan Siegel? Not on the call. Alex Steinberg?
Abstain.
Thank you. Andrea Turner?
Abstained.
Thank you. Let's see, I didn't hear Teresa. Are you here? You vote? Still can't hear you, Teresa. Okay, so there were yes votes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Zero no's. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 abstentions.
Okay, thank you.
So it's approved.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, minutes are approved. Do we have a motion to approve the October 25th minutes? Anyone?
Hello.
Thank you, George. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second. This is Tracy.
Tracy? Any objections to approving the minutes?
This is Kathy. I want to abstain.
Thank you, Kathy. Bill, can you call the roll, please?
Okay. Ken Aaron?
Abstain.
Thank you. Ivan Alsame? Can't hear you, Ivan. Teresa Allen? Can't hear you, Teresa. Mia Bediaco?
Yes.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Thank you. Carolyn Burden?
Abstain.
Thank you. What was that?
Point of information, is abstaining different from and not voting?
Sorry?
I'm not sure.
What are you asking?
Is point of information different from present and not voting?
Yes, present and not voting versus abstaining? That's the same in this context, I would think. Abstention is how you denote the fact that you're not voting yes or no. So, I mean, I'm not, I don't vote, but other than that, I mean. Do you wish to abstain?
Well, there may not have been quorum for the previous set of minutes. I don't know about this one.
I'm sorry? Abstention doesn't affect quorum at all. I mean, if 10 people abstain and 5 vote yes, the minutes will still pass. Did you wish to vote, Carolyn? Continue.
Okay. Lily Brazon?
Abstain.
Thank you. Bill Crozier abstains. Kathy Davis?
Abstain.
Thank you. Revelyn Gold?
Present. I mean, abstain.
Okay. Thank you. Heather Gray?
I'll abstain on this one.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Abstain.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Thank you. Fia Wangaza is not here. Laura Privis?
Abstain.
Thank you. Marcel Reed. Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder?
Yes.
Abstain.
Thank you. Okay, got George and Marcel. Thank you. Tracy Rosenberg?
I'll vote yes.
Thank you. Dan Siegel? I don't believe he's on the call. Alex Steinberg?
Abstain.
Thank you. Andrea Turner?
Abstain.
Thank you. And I didn't hear Teresa again. Are you there, Teresa? Guess not. Okay. Yes votes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 yeses. 0 noes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 abstentions. So it's approved.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, very good. All right, so we'll move on to the PNB Chair's Report and the Interim Executive Director's Report. The first thing I'd like to say is, you know, obviously our
hearts go out to all of our colleagues and friends and listeners in the New York Signal area with the effects of Hurricane Sandy. And our network has still going through a lot to take care of our New York employees and to deal with the fact that we're not able to get into our station there. And we'd like to thank Gary Null for making his studios available to us. He has, without any cost, made his studios available to our station, WBAI. And that's been very helpful to us. And our staff is continuing to look for other possible backup plans, depending on how long we are prevented from reentering our facilities since our building was flooded. And we're working with the union and management to address the needs of our employees who aren't able to come to work at this time so that they're not any more adversely affected than they already have been by the situation in New York. We did have some interruptions in broadcasting because of the hurricane, but we're able to get back on the air without being off for too long a period of time. And same at WPFW. We were off the air for a short period of time there, but management went to a lot of trouble to make sure that we stayed on the air and backup plans in terms of power resources and things of that nature to keep us on the air. And, you know, DC in good shape at this point in terms of that. So that's and that continues to be obviously a big focus of attention is dealing with our New York situation and getting our studios back up on the air fully. Other thing of very concerning this last week is dealing with the elections. We did have some delay in taking care of certain aspects of the business from our end with the election services company, but we were able to get everything on track on time so that the ballots would be mailed by the election date at four of the five signal areas, which was November 6th was the ballot mail date, and that was achieved for KPFK, KPFA, WPFW, and KPFT. WVAI, because of the hurricane, has had the mail date extended to November 13th, and that's when ballots will be mailed out at that location. So that's on the elections. There's been some I've received some complaints from people from various signal areas regarding whether carts are being played in sufficient rotation, the scheduling of candidate forums. So I'm continuing to follow up with the NES and the LESs and management and PDs, frankly, to see if all the cooperation that is needed from the at the local signal areas is being provided to the LESs and candidates to have their carts and forums played on the air. So I have some concerns there in terms of how that is progressing. But there's a lot of active communication going on over that right at the moment. On the national office front, obviously I'll be able to fill people in more thoroughly on things in the executive session portion. But we are at this point making swift changes to address the various dysfunctionalities in the national office, and I'm pleased to report that I'm quite happy with how things are going at this point this week. And I think we'll be able to go ahead and get this situation cleaned up rather quickly now that some changes are being made. And I'm happy to take questions from members on any of these subjects or anything else that you'd like me to answer.
Teresa for the stack.
I was Lydia. Knocked off and came back on.
Okay, so I've got Teresa, I've got Campbell, I've got Lydia. Anybody else?
Laura for the stack.
Laura. Okay. All right, Teresa, go ahead.
I would just like to say that I CC'd you an email that I sent to Terry Baricius because one of our candidates, who happens to be the chair of our board, went in to do what we were told he would have an open journal, and he went in yesterday, and so he was told by the local election supervisor that we were thinking that the election was off, and therefore, his show was canceled. And at that time, somebody told him that we had not paid our bills. We had not paid somebody. And finally, they got to the bottom of it, and they rescheduled. But I CC'd Terry, and I'm most concerned that we not tell the public, especially specifically, what bills we're paying, not paying. I mean,
It's just not right. I mean, well, it starts with the PNB.
Point of order, this is an open session.
Yes, and just to make it clear, Teresa, no, we at this end told the public anything. The fact that that communications flowed from election supervisors based on nothing that was communicated from this office to in any way indicate that the elections were being postponed or were not going to occur. Obviously, I can't discuss the internal issues that occurred during last week in open session, but I'm happy.
Obviously, it was an error. So, but I just want to be clear that, you know, we don't make statements like that. And
right,
I
but
you know,
I guess I want to be clear. I never made a statement like that, and nobody on the board made statements like that, and I don't control the behavior of the election supervisors who may have made statements based on, you know, whatever they may have communicated was not controlled by this office or by
right.
me.
Well, you just might want to check on that, okay?
Yes, yes.
Right,
and I'm happy
you.
To elaborate in closed session as to what actually did occur and what communications did take place, because they were frankly very limited in scope and were only communicated to very specific and limited individuals. So the fact that that was spread further by other people is unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alex,
I'm
stuck, please.
Thank you.
I know they do, Teresa. I know they do, like little birds that you got to try and not let get away. Campbell, and I heard you, Alex. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. I know you've been quite busy, but as I'm recalling now, we are in arrears for two written reports, and I was wondering when they would be forthcoming.
Well, not to point out that my predecessor did not submit written reports very frequently on these incessant phone calls. I'm in arrears for the one report that I said I would go ahead and submit from my trip to the East. Since then, I've been working 7 days a week. I was up all night at New York's big request that I attempt to get emergency broadcasting going from Los Angeles last week. So I worked around the clock on that. I'm working 7 days a week. I spent Sunday on matters relative to the board's health and the organization's survivability, which I will elaborate on in closed session. And as soon as I'm not working 7 days a week without stop and we're not having a hurricane on the East Coast, I did think someone would ask for the report on my East Coast trip. When we're meeting weekly, I'm probably not going to submit a written report every single week, particularly since this was not required of other people. But I will definitely get you a report on the East Coast trip, and, of course, it'll be updated based on what has happened since then. But the hurricane has kept me literally working nonstop, as have some of the other matters which the board is aware of, but which I can't discuss in open session. But, Campbell, I will get you all a report, I do promise, okay? But I probably am not going to have a written report every single meeting if we meet constantly. If we're not meeting constantly, that's different. It's a little easier then. So, did you have other
Thank
questions?
Thank you very much. That's it.
Yes, no problem, Campbell. And I do, and it's not a problem. I will get that to you. Next on stack, I think, was Lydia.
I just wanted to know if the ballots went out on the 6th.
I have been informed, and again, you know, I have to take other people's words for these things, but I have been informed by the National Election Supervisor that indeed they did.
And so hopefully other board members, when they receive them, can chime in so we know for sure.
Sure,
okay.
And I'm happy to get feedback from people. I've been getting feedback, quite frankly, on people's complaints, which whether they materialize into, you know, election violations or they're merely people. I mean, I've already intervened and had discussions with the PD and the local election supervisor at K as I started getting complaints from various individuals. So I am, I always feel by the time the complaint reaches me, it must be because somebody didn't resolve it along the way that should have resolved it. So I am monitoring what's going on with the elections and intervening when I'm things are brought to my attention that seem to be issues with them. So please let me know if there are any issues, but I have been informed that the ballots did go out for the four stations that were not affected by the hurricane and that they went out on the 6th.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. I'm sorry, there was somebody, it's Laura. Who's
Laura?
There. Laura, go ahead.
Yeah. Summer, this isn't a criticism of you, but I'm just thinking about what happened at BAI and how, as a network, we really need to be prepared for such things happening, and that, you know, we have our reporters from BAI there, and maybe we could have more reporters that could have been available somehow to find an alternate location that we could use our other stations and work as a whole network to be reporting on what is happening in New York, and also like that we could have done that, and then that also we could have been piping in all of our programming from other stations into BAI rather than having it off the air, or if it's playing, you know, not pertinent things during this crisis. So I just we need to think more as a network and what we could do in the coming crisis in the future.
Certainly. Well, you know that I agree entirely with you in terms of thinking more as a network, but to give more clarity on what actually occurred, I do think that all of our stations, and it's something I intend to see happen, need better broadcast plans. As you all know, I did the 7.5-hour hurricane broadcast last year because there was no broadcast plan in New York, and they had no plan. This year, I do feel that they attempted to have a plan, but it was insufficient for the magnitude of the storm. When I was called by management in New York on Monday night when the building got flooded and electricity went off at our station, and before they were in Gary Null's studios, they had taken the Comrex unit up to Michael G's apartment, and we're broadcasting for a short period of time from an apartment. But what happened, and so they called me and said, look, we've gone off the air. We can't do this. Can you do another remote broadcast from Los Angeles and send it straight to the tower? So I called in my crew, and from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., we attempted to get on to the tower in New York. And what actually happened was that the ISDN lines at all the telecom in Empire State went down. So nobody was broadcasting if they had to connect remotely through an ISDN line to New York City. And that remained that way for some period of time. There's a lot of noise in the background, like someone's in a restaurant, so perhaps someone could mute if you're in a public location that's noisy right now. Anyhow, so we actually did. That's how I ended up working all night with my reliable engineering people, and we lined up guests, and we were ready to go again. But there was physically no way to connect with the broadcast tower in New York City. The only way they could have stayed on the air was actually to take the remote unit to the tower location and actually be at the tower. And they could have remained on the air in that fashion in a little tiny room with a table and a chair. There was no way to in any way remotely hook up broadcasting from any of the other stations. We did attempt to do that. So that is like the sort of like the most drastic scenario of how they could have stayed on the air despite the fact that everything technically had fallen apart. I think that is something that people should be prepared to do. You should be prepared to broadcast directly from your tower. They did something similar to that in Washington, D.C. A transponder blew out during the storm in D.C., and they were able to broadcast on their low-power FM hooked into the power supply where the tower is located at and broadcasting directly from there. So clearly, at this point, I do believe that things, you know, we have hurricanes and stuff on the East Coast. We have the potentiality of earthquakes on the West Coast, that broadcast plans need to have everything. And at this point, I'm going to be seeking a full equipment assessment from all the managers, because sometimes we are missing some very small piece of equipment that would enable us to stay on the air at one station or another. But broadcast plans have to include, you know, not only, you know, what are you planning to broadcast? Because that's another problem, is having a plan that simply keeps you on the air but not playing anything relevant isn't a sufficient broadcast plan either. One needs to be prepared to be responsive to the situation that's going on in your broadcast area. I think New York did a good job the first day when they were still in the studios, but as soon as it got really bad, that kind of didn't continue. They were able to get into, you know, these sister studios, but there are some limitations on our access at that facility, so clearly we have to make some arrangements that go beyond that if we're kept out of our building for a really long time. But I think in this particular situation, there was absolutely no way to broadcast in from any of our other locations, and the only thing that would have worked was being at the tower. And that's something I expect, frankly, managers to be prepared to do. I expect people to be prepared to be at the tower. If the disaster is bad enough that the only way you can stay on the air is to set up a remote, that's what they should do, you know.
Summer.
But it's been a more elaborate plan.
Summer, this is Laura. Can I
like a point of personal privilege, please?
I'm sorry, is that Kathy?
Yes, I just wanted to give a point of personal privilege
of
here.
Course.
The only time the station went down is when a transformer exploded and there was limited access to the Empire State Building. There was limited access to the streets.
Right.
So I think it was an extraordinary situation. I think New York did an outstanding
job. I agree with you.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to make that point that it.
Thank you.
BAI stayed on the air when other commercial stations couldn't. So
thank
I think
you.
It did an extraordinary job.
Thank you, Kathy. That is what I was trying to say. It was beyond anyone's ability to, you know what I mean? What happened was not anticipated. The only way would have been to be at the tower. There was literally nothing else. And people did really work round the clock, Laura. I mean, round the clock in D.C. We were on the phone with engineers there, and I think, you know, the station did get back on the air more quickly than other stations under the circumstances. So, yeah.
Can I ask one, bring up one more thing?
Sure, Laura? Of course, always.
There's just been some suggestions at KPFA that maybe we should take some of the time for the PRA fundraising and make that into BAI fundraising if necessary.
I don't know that that's going to work at this point in time in terms of how close we are to the PRA fund drive. We did discuss whether or not it would continue, whether it would actually be broadcast in New York, and it seems that carts are already in rotation for that. I do agree that New York is going to need additional support, but I don't know that we're able to necessarily effectively change that at this point.
Hand to the stack.
Yeah. So, Laura, I sure can't make a decision about that on here, but I do think in terms of where we're at and the what's already occurring and what's sort of in cycle, as it were. Part of the problem, too, is, you know, without being able to access our facilities, New York is limited in terms of what it can put in rotation, what it can put on the air. You know, we don't have the same flexibility we would have if we were in our own facilities right now. So, but thank you, Laura. And I do think, frankly, everyone, we do have to be, I mean, I'm right now we're really assessing, like, you know, we've got to make sure we take care of our employees in New York. People are in, you know, it's a really serious situation out there. And even if we're out of our facilities for an extended period of time, we do have to make sure that everyone's, you know, taken care of. Alex?
Okay. I want to speak to a couple of issues that were touched on in your report. First, the storm and the outage of WBAI. I just want to be publicly on record of thanking Gary Null for allowing WBAI to use his studios. It was a very gracious offer, and it really helped a lot, and it's still helping. Also, I would like at some point to get a report from Pacifica's technical staff as to what exactly happened, all the different outages. I have sort of an overview of it, but I don't know the details, and I don't know if everybody would be interested, but I would be interested in getting an account of exactly what went wrong at what point, so that maybe if we can go through that, we can better improve our emergency backup plan. That's what I want to say on that issue. On the other thing you touched on was the election. And I just want to say that I think, given Pacifica's financial crunch, it seems somewhat extravagant that we're mailing out ballots using first-class mail. I know this is not your fault. This is something that's been in the works for a long time, but it certainly seems like an extravagant use of our what little funds we have. And it's certainly too late to do anything about the mailings that have already gone out. I'm wondering if there's any way to save some money by having the WBAI mailing, which is going out later, use bulk rate instead of first class. We could save, I don't know, $10,000-$15,000 if we do that. And it's equivalent to the savings we had from canceling our in-person meeting, which a lot of people were concerned about. We could have saved five times as much had we not elected to use first class mail.
Camel,
thank you. I'll put you back on second call, Campbell, if we have time for second rounds. To address your first thing on the report from tech staff, yes, Alex, I mean, I intend to not only get a report from tech staff on what happened there specifically, but I do intend on getting, like, full site assessments from all managers and technical assessments, and I expect to see broadcast plans drawn up by all stations in terms of, I've discussed this on the management calls, it won't come as a surprise to anyone, but for each station specifically, what is your emergency plan, and also regionally, what is our plan as a network? What happens when a natural disaster hits both of our East Coast stations? How do we address that? Where do we take over? And also, who's responsible? You know, I mean, who are the people you call when this is going on? What happens next? And things have been brought to my attention, not just at BAI, at other stations as well, when sometimes some critical piece of equipment that might make the ability to stay on the air or the ability to continue streaming seamlessly, that we may not have, you know, X, Y, or Z piece of equipment at a particular station. And it varies station to station what that may be, but I need to get a full assessment from tech staff and from management as to what their technical resources are. So that goes into the broadcast plan. You know, if this is happening, do you jump to plan C, which is your more drastic plan, because that's what you're anticipating? And certainly doing an assessment of what occurred at BAI will be helpful to us in determining that for other stations. But it's something I want to see for the entire network, an actual written broadcast plan for each station, regional broadcast plans, and a network plan, so that when these things happen, we are able to address them more quickly. As for the ballots, well, not only have they been mailed first class in every election since I've been on the board for 5 years, but it certainly is too late at this point to change them for one station. This is something that the Elections Committee should have addressed earlier on in the year, frankly, when the decision was made to use the...
A point of information, Summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what year, but I know in past years we did send out ballots on a bulk mail rate. And maybe
sure.
It was more than 5 years ago, but we definitely.
I mean, it makes
it
a lot of sense to me. I mean, we're a nonprofit organization on a lot of levels. It makes sense to me that you would save money on postage and send the stuff by nonprofit bulk rate. I've heard the arguments regarding various concerns that people have with their election mailing materials, that those things should not necessarily drive the decision-making of the board and the organization as to what's the most intelligent decision to be made financially. I think, unfortunately, those birds have flown for this election. There's very little I could do. I think, frankly, that one could have allegations that, you know, if we were to change it at one station and it went out differently at the other four stations, everything that is done disparately opens us up to litigation as far as I'm concerned. So I think the short-range gain in savings to do it differently at one station is probably problematic. I don't even know if it's something I could change at this point with the election supervisor. I do think that it's something that for future, for this upcoming election, this coming year, it's something the Elections Committee should certainly address and should come to a conclusion and make a recommendation to the board, and the board should vote on it. And if a determination is made that we could save $40,000 or $30,000 or $20,000 by doing it that way, then that's something the board should vote on and give a directive so the executive director has something to follow, which says, tell the NES that we're doing it by bulk rate.
Well,
that would be helpful.
We have a stat, right?
Yes, Ken is next on stat. Carolyn, did you want to put you on stat?
To the stat, too, please.
Okay, I heard. Was that Carolyn and then Revelin?
Yes, Carolyn, please. Thank you.
And was that Revelin after Carolyn?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay,
a point
thank
of information,
you.
Summer.
Yes,
how much time are we going to spend on this?
I don't know. I'm sure we're past time by now, so I'm probably not going to take any second rounds, but I'll try to go ahead and finish people's questions, okay? But anyway, I just don't think there's any way to change the first class bulk at this point in time with 1 week to go, frankly. Ken?
We're spending too much time on items not on the agenda. I call the agenda. If we're at time, we should go. We have items on the agenda to address, and we could be going, we could be meandering all over the back and forth about opinions about things without being presented with numbers and facts. Subtopics, that are, if they're on, not on the agenda or they're later in the agenda, there's an election committee report. So I call the agenda.
Okay. You're good. Agenda's been called. There's been no motion to extend time. We're past due on this item, so if there's no objection, I guess we'll move on to the next next portion of the agenda. Okay. All right. Sorry, Carolyn and Robin. Next on the agenda is the CFO's report, and the CFO's not with us this evening, and I will obviously elaborate in closed session on that matter, which leads us on to the Finance Committee, which would be the National Office Budget. Tracy Rosenberg, would you like to take the floor?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, give me a second here.
No warning, you're up. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, we were going off into such a lengthy report, I wasn't quite sure when it was coming up. Okay, so copies of the National Office budget approved by the NFC were sent out. They were sent out a couple days ago, and they were sent out again this afternoon. Everybody should have one. You have a longer Excel document and a shorter PDF. Refer to whichever you please. Both contain basically the same information. The Excel contains a number of backup spreadsheets. Some of those have been updated for 2013. Some of them have not been. And that has to do with the staffing shortage in the National Office. Just basically, and I'll just sort of hit the highlights, and then we can answer questions from there. The national office's direct revenue is anticipated somewhat conservatively for 2013 at $610,000. The national office's direct income consists of mail fund drive and donations, income from affiliates, and SBA income. The 610 is pretty conservative. The only actuals that we had for 2012 that seemed to be accurate were 9 months, but you can see that we're certainly on target to make or surpass that in 2012. We do have the FY 2011 and FY 2010 totals, and we are anticipating considerably less than either of those years. And part of the reason for that is to deal with staffing shortages in the national office. And in addition, we feel that since the national office is sometimes responsive to financial crises in other parts of the network, that it makes sense to project their revenue conservatively. So hypothetically, there's extra money to cover on unexpected or unanticipated expenses. The central services amount from each of the stations, of course, are 17% of anticipated listener revenue, except in the case of KPFK, which is 16% because they give their entire top floor to the Pacifica Archives. That total is $1.8 million, and so it's the other 75% of the national office budget, and those amounts have been approved in the station budgets that the PNB has already passed. So that brings us to expenses. We are looking at total salaries of $676,000. That includes all benefits. That amount appears to be pretty much on target with the 2012 expenses. It is lower than what was spent in 2010 and a little higher than what was spent in 2011. The significant increase is basically the annual increase in health insurance benefits because they almost always go up by about 10%. Board and administrative expenses are anticipated at $144,700. That's primarily the LSB elections, both in 2012 and 2013, because the fiscal year encompasses both of that, and the annual meetings, which are budgeted for 3 times in the 2013 fiscal year. Administrative expenses are anticipated $635,000. That is less than in 2010, a bit more than in 2011, and the primary reason for that is the increase in some insurance expenses, which the board has been alerted to. Programming expenses are anticipated at $785,000. That's fairly similar to what was spent in FY 2011 and 2010. The increase basically has to do with annual contractual increases, which at this point in time we were not able to estimate one way or the other. And development expenses of $38,352, those were increased a bit, as they were in the 2011 budget, in the hope that some preliminary development efforts would be based in the national office. That compares to $16,000 in 2010 and $14,000 in 2011. So that leaves us with total national office expenses of $2,280,000. And an anticipated surplus of $137,000 if, in fact, central services are paid at 100%. We certainly hope for that, but part of the reason for the surplus and for the conservativeness of the direct revenue estimates is to leave some space if we're not able to achieve that at 100%. Our hope is that we can. So that's pretty much it, and then I can answer questions about specific line items if needed. Back.
Bill?
Okay, this is Lydia. Summer, should I call the stack or do you want to?
I was going to let you call the stack because it's your portion of
okay.
It. Go ahead.
Thanks, great, then I will. Okay, so Bill, followed by Lydia. Bill?
Yeah, I just want to clarify, the fact that it's in a budget or in an income, you know, expense statement doesn't mean that the central services have been paid. And one of the big problems we've had with cash flow is when stations do not pay their central services, and that's still a problem. So for some of the stations, I don't know if you want to talk about that, Tracy, but I think we all need to go back to our stations and make sure those are getting paid every month.
Yeah, I would agree. And as I said, that's part of the reason for the conservatism in the direct revenue estimates, which I think will likely come in closer to $700,000. And also in the large paper surplus that's being presented, which, of course, is fairly large at $137,000. Because we presume that after everything is said and done, it's likely that it won't actually be that high on paper. Lydia, you're next.
Yes. No, I mean, I will, I don't foresee our finances improving so dramatically that we can afford the three meetings. I will be voting no. And that's about it. That's just, you know, there are other things. I think it's good to, I much prefer a budget that is as accurate as possible and that you build into it a reserve so that everything is there, so rather than just saying, oh, we're padding this, we're padding that, so that it's a little buffer or whatever. I like to have as much detail in the budgets I produce or whatever or have. But anyway, so but my primary objection is the three meetings. I can't imagine that we're going to be in better shape, much better shape next year than we are this year, and we have tremendous debt. So that's it.
Okay. Well, this is Tracy. Two things. I mean, first of all, it's impossible at this point to guesstimate how much central services certain stations may or may not be able to pay. There isn't really a whole lot that you can do, but work from an estimate basis because you don't know. Second thing that I would say, and again, we're trying to err on the side of conservatism because that's what you do when you're not sure. In terms of the meetings, we basically split the distance between the four that were held in 2010, the three that were held in 2011, and the two that were held in 2012 and went with three. Again, it's a budgetary plan. The net impact on the budget from that change would be about $20,000 or $25,000 in expenses, not projected, so you'd be looking at a surplus on paper of about 160 as opposed to 137. It wouldn't materially change the budget that much. You would just be sort of puffing the surplus up. My feeling is since our bylaws say four, probably three is a kind of a safe guesstimate in terms of planning, since it's unlikely that we would have none and pretty unlikely that we would have four, so we're kind of having things. I'm sorry, one, which we know we have to have per the bylaws, and so we're pretty much having it in the middle. Is there anybody else on the stack?
Alex? Yeah.
Okay, I heard Alex and then Nia. Alex, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ken.
Okay, you're right. After Nia.
Yes, just continuing a thought I expressed in a previous discussion, why don't we plan now for bulk mailing in the elections? That way the projected board expenses could be drastically lowered. And,
okay.
And then this whole argument about two meetings or three meetings is less significant,
yes.
I think.
Let me address that. The costs for the printing or postage are in the station budgets. We've already passed those. We can't go back and unpass them. It is perfectly fine for the board to make that call on the 2013 elections, and that would free up some cash for the individual stations, which might help in terms of the shared services payments, but it doesn't have a direct impact on the NO budget. The costs that are in there for the board expenses are not the printing and postage on the ballot.
Yes, but it will influence the ability of some of our stations to meet their central service obligation, probably.
Correct. But what I'm saying is that it's out of order for this particular discussion of this particular budget. It can be addressed by the board at another time.
Tracy?
It does, Summer. I have a question.
Well, I can put you on the stack. Leah is next.
Thank you.
Okay. The well, I don't see anything here for grants income for the entire year. And considering that we have 2 years of going concern, we don't think it's possible that between now and September 2013 that we could get any grants. That's number one. Number two, where is it? Did I see depreciation expense in here again, rather than account reserved?
Okay, let me address those two questions. The first, it's distinctly possible that the national office could get grants, and I hope that it will. A number of the stations have estimated some small amounts of grants in their budgets, but that's station income, not NO income. In terms of budgeting, well, I mean, you can put speculative grants in a budget, but if you do that, then you're basically spending money that you don't have. And since there are no grant proposals outstanding at this time, it didn't seem to us that we had anything to base distinct income on. Certainly it's possible, and I hope that it happens. In terms of depreciation, yes, the depreciation is in the administrative section of the budget, like it is for all the divisions.
Okay. My other one is the personnel search cost. That should be $2,000, not $1,000.
Okay, I'll have to go look. I thought it was actually upgraded to $3,000 in the final NO budget. Let me take a look.
No, am I looking at the wrong one? I know the committee asked for $2,000 combined for both searches.
Okay, let me take a look. I thought it was upgraded to three. Let's see.
No, it says one. The one that I'm looking at, it says $1,000.
Okay, let's look.
While she's looking, this is Teresa.
No, please, Teresa, please follow the stack.
Well, Teresa, no. Teresa, you're on the stack. Hold on. You're on the stack. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. What are you saying? That we're out of time?
Yeah. Somebody else be timer.
Okay.
Maybe Ken Aaron.
Want information
still. All right. Does someone want to make a motion to extend time? I'm going to have to dig around for the personnel search. Let's see. It's actually $6,000, Mia. Line 73 in the PDF, account 6662. People felt that it was likely those expenses would be higher. There would be other positions vacant in the NO, and therefore it's $6,000. So there's no problem. Your $2,000 is covered. Yeah.
The $2,000 was what the committee asked for the search for the positions of ED and CFO. But when we discussed it on the National Finance Committee, it was understood that there were other positions that are vacant or becoming vacant that we'll need to search for.
Right. Okay. So the answer to the question is that the $2,000 that the committee requested is in the NO budget. So I had Ken and then Teresa on the staff. Ken?
I just make a motion that we approve the national office budget.
Tracy?
And call the question because time is up.
Tracy?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Tracy?
Yes, Neil, what is it?
Yeah. Am I looking at the wrong budget? Because I don't see $6,000. No.
I told you it's line 73 in the PDF, account 6662. I just went and looked at it. It's there.
Okay, so I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, apparently we're out of time. Teresa was on the stack. Why don't we go ahead and take Teresa, and then if there's, I guess there's a motion to extend time or there isn't. So, Teresa, go ahead.
Teresa was not on the stack. She was just trying to say the time.
Trying to tell time.
Okay. Okay. Is there anybody else on the stack? Okay. Then Ken's motion is on the floor. Does it have a second?
Bill?
You don't need it, Tracy. You're out of time. The motion was moved, and it's on the floor. The only thing you can do is go to vote or extend time, and since there's no motion to extend time, you just go to a vote.
Good. Then I will hand the chairing back to Summer, and we can go to a vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Okay. I recall a member saying that she was going to object to the National Office budget, so let's not waste time. Bill, could you just go ahead and call the roll? Our yes vote will approve the NO budget. A no vote will not, or you may abstain. Thank you.
Okay, Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Thank you. Ivan Alsame? Not on the call. Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Thank you. Nia Bediako?
No.
Thank you. Wesley Bethune?
Abstain.
Thank you. Carolyn Burton?
Yes.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
No.
Thank you. Bill Crozier votes yes. Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Thank you. Evelyn Gold?
No.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson?
Just more time?
Campbell, how do you vote?
What's the motion that we vote?
On the National Office budget. To approve the National Office budget. Okay, thank you. Ali Alexa?
Yes.
Thank you. Afia Wangaza, on the call. Laura Priebus? Can't hear you, Laura. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder?
Yes.
Abstain.
Thank you. Okay, Marcel abstains. Thank you. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Thank you. Dan Siegel? Not on the call. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Thank you. Andrea Turner?
No.
I'm sorry, what was that?
No.
No, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Did we miss anybody? I didn't hear Laura or Dan or Ivan. Okay, yes votes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No votes, 1, 2, 3, 4. Abstentions, 1, 2, 3. So it's approved.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Okay, next on the agenda is the Audit Committee motion to approve the auditor. I'm sorry, is the Audit Committee chair available? No, Fred, that's Fred Blair. He's not on the PNB. What am I thinking? Who wants to take this from the Audit Committee to present?
Well, I thought Laura was going to take it. Is she on the call yet?
Wow. She's on the call.
I'm Laura? Still on the call.
Okay, Laura, did you want to present on the Audit Committee?
Sure.
Thank you.
We went with Armandina McKenna because I think first all the audit firms that we spoke to were completely competent. So we could have chosen any of them. Armandina McKenna happened to have a lot of experience with a full range of nonprofits. I think the capacity was an important issue. They have a huge capacity. They're one of the biggest, or they are the biggest audit firm in California, and they have a wide range of nonprofits that they work with.